Pushing back on your boss can feel like walking into a minefield. It's risky. It can impact your career, and it's often easier to just go along with the flow. But here's the thing. Not speaking up when it truly matters can lead to costly mistakes, unresolved tensions, and missed opportunities for both you and your team. So how do you strike the right balance? How do you decide when it's worth the risk to challenge the status quo, and when is it better to hold back? Welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the podcast where we challenge conventional wisdom and uncover innovative ways to lead, collaborate, and thrive in today's fast-paced business world. I'm Wayne Robertson, and today we're diving into one of the trickiest tightropes in the workplace: when you should push back on your boss, and also how should you do it. In this episode, I want to explore the critical art of knowing when and how to push back effectively. There will be examples, discuss the potential consequences of staying silent, and provide actionable strategies for making your voice heard while protecting your career. If you've ever wrestled with whether to speak up or stay quiet, this episode is for you. I've thinking about how this all works. Pushing back on your boss is like seasoning your food. Too little, it's bland, and too much, it's a disaster. It's real tricky. And also, it's like karaoke. If you're not in tune, it's going to be awkward for everyone to push back on your boss. And unfortunately, we've all had this. Some bosses say they want feedback, but really, all they're looking for is applause. What a great job you've done. You've all done real good. Well, now I want to share with you the story of Francine, a top-tier manager whose journey reveals the delicate balance of pushing back on your boss and how it can lead to unexpected success. Francine was the kind of manager that every company dreams of having. With years of experience under her belt, she had a reputation for delivering projects on time, on budget, and with exceptional results. But even the best project managers can face challenges that test their limits. And for Francine, that challenge came in the form of her boss, Ronaldo. Now, Ronaldo wasn't a bad boss. He was just, well, let's say, overly enthusiastic with his commands and expectations. He'd hand down instructions that ranged from nearly impossible to completely nonsensical, leaving Francine and her team scrambling to figure out how to get them done. So at first, she kept quiet. She didn't want to rock the boat or risk appearing incapable, so she did her best to work around his demands. But the cracks started to show. Deadlines were slipping, her team was burning out, and she knew that deep down, this approach wasn't sustainable. And finally, the breaking point came when Ronaldo handed her a set of requirements that simply could not be met within the team's resources and timeline. And so Francine realized she had to say something. Now, this wasn't just about protecting her team. It was about protecting the project and also the company's success. So, with trepidation, she scheduled a meeting with him. Her nerves were running high. She brought up her concerns, and he didn't take them well. In fact, he got upset, accusing her of not knowing how to manage a project. But Francine didn't let that derail her. She stayed calm and patiently explained the situation, pointing out the time and resource constraints that her team was working with and why the requirements couldn't be fulfilled. Well, she was surprised, once Ronaldo calmed down, that he actually listened. He admitted he hadn't fully considered the limitations, and he was willing to work with her to find a solution. Over the next few weeks, they collaborated closely, revisiting the project's requirements, timelines, and processes. And together, they found ways to adjust the workflow, prioritize tasks, and streamline steps to make the impossible possible. Ronaldo's willingness to listen and Francine's courage to speak up transformed the way they worked together. The results? Not only did they solve the immediate issues, but they also built a stronger working relationship and created a framework for tackling future challenges more effectively. The project was completed successfully, and Francine's team thrived under the new approach. And Francine's story is a powerful reminder that pushing back isn't about being confrontational. It's about advocating for what's right for the team and the project. And when approached with patience, professionalism, and a willingness to collaborate, it can lead to incredible results. So the next time you are faced with an impossible demand or an unreasonable expectation, think of Francine. Sometimes the best way to move forward is to push back carefully. Francine and Ronaldo just didn't magically fix the problem overnight. It took a great approach and a lot of tough conversations and a willingness to rethink everything. So let's take a look at how you do this kind of change, how you break down the projects to see how we can make this work. So this first step is you've got to take a look at the situation, assess everything. That Francine knew the first step was to pinpoint the exact pain points in the project. So she prepared for the meeting by doing the following. Number one, she analyzed the requirements. She broke down Ronaldo's demands into smaller pieces. There was critical, must have to meet the project's goals. Important but flexible, could be adjusted or delayed. And then low priority. They're nice to haves, but they could be eliminated if it couldn't be done. Then she mapped out time and resources. She created a timeline showing the team's existing workload, their available hours, and the effort needed to each requirement. This highlighted the gap between the expectations and reality. Then she gathered evidence. She compiled examples of past projects with similar constraints and consequences of overloading the team, such as missed deadlines or burnout. This gave her some concrete evidence to support her concerns. The next step was initial discussion. So when she met with Ronaldo, she focused on facts, not emotions. Here's how she did it. First, she opened the dialogue and started on a positive tone, which you always do. Ronaldo, I really value the ambitious goals you set for this project. It's a great vision. However, I'd like to discuss some potential challenges we're facing and how we can address them together. And then she laid out the data. She used her analysis to show why the current plan wasn't going to work. She had some visuals put together with like a Gantt chart, illustrating overlapping tasks. Also a pie chart showed the team capacity and workload, and then a prioritized list of tasks based on their impact. Then she framed the problem as a team issue, really important. She avoided blaming anyone and instead framed the issue as a shared challenge. I think we both want this project to succeed, and I believe we can find a way to balance our goals with the team's capacity. So the next step was to collaborate on problem solving. Now, after Ronaldo calmed down and acknowledged the problem, they dove into finding solutions together. They redefined priorities. They took a look at the project goals and agreed to focus on critical tasks first, postpone or eliminate low-priority items that didn't directly impact project success. Then they streamlined processes. They looked for inefficiencies in the current workflow and made some adjustments. They automated repetitive tasks. They invested in some software to handle mundane tasks like status updates and time tracking. And also for reoccurring deliverables, Francine created templates to save time and reduce errors. Then they ensured that team members would cover for one another by cross-training team members, minimizing downtime during absences. They also created flexible timelines. They adjusted deadlines by adding buffer time to account for unexpected delays, and they introduced milestones to track the progress and to make real-time adjustments. And then they delegated decision-making. Ronaldo empowered Francine to make on-the-spot decisions about minor changes, reducing bottlenecks caused by the constant approvals. Now, the next step was to build transparency and communication. They wanted to make sure that everyone stayed aligned, and so Francine implemented several communication strategies. A weekly sync-up meeting, where Francine and Ronaldo met weekly to review the progress, roadblocks, recalibrate priorities if needed, and this kept Ronaldo involved without micromanaging. And then Francine held shorter, more frequent team huddles to discuss progress, celebrate small wins, and address concerns early. And then she set up a shared dashboard where Ronaldo and the team could track progress, see priorities, and view timelines in real time. This kind of feedback is so important. Now, the next step was to monitor and adjust. So as the project progressed, Francine and Ronaldo kept refining their approach. They celebrated small wins. They celebrated each completed milestone to keep morale high. Ronaldo even sent thank you notes to team members who went above and beyond. And also, they gathered feedback from the team about what was working and what wasn't. For example, if the timeline was too tight, they adjusted the next one. And if a tool wasn't user-friendly, they found alternatives. They also anticipated future challenges. Both Francine and Ronaldo started proactively identifying potential issues in the future phase of the project, addressing them before they became problems. So what happened? Well, by the time the project wrapped up, the team was not only meeting deadlines, but exceeding expectations on quality. Ronaldo and Francine had built a stronger working relationship grounded in trust and mutual respect. The team's morale was higher than ever, and they felt heard and valued in the process. The company adopted some of their new methods as best practices for the teams. So Francine's willingness to address the issue and Ronaldo's openness to collaborate didn't just save the project. It transformed their work environment. The experience proved that pushing back, when done thoughtfully and professionally, can lead to extraordinary outcomes. So, when you're faced with a mountain of deliverables and limited resources, redefining priorities is absolutely critical. So, here's how you do it. Number one is to understand the bigger picture. Start by understanding the overarching goals of the project. You ask some key questions. What are we ultimately trying to achieve? And what deliverables are critical to reaching that goal? And what are the potential risks if certain deliverables are delayed or omitted? Let's take a look at an example. If you're building a new software product, delivering a functional core product might be more critical than including all the additional features that are wanted. The next step is to categorize the tasks and deliverables. You break down the tasks and deliverables into categories based on their importance and impact. The first one being critical, absolutely essential to the success of the project. They have to be completed, otherwise the project won't work. The next one is important but flexible. They're valuable items, but the timelines or scope can be adjusted. And the last category is nice to have. It's going to add great value, but they can be delayed or skipped if necessary. And there's many projects out there that have followed different ideas. You categorize them as urgent and important, important but not urgent, urgent but not important, neither urgent nor important. And they all, those categories can work really well. The next step is to engage stakeholders, because these stakeholders need to be part of the conversation to ensure alignment on priorities. That could be upper management, most likely. You present the data. You share workload analysis, timelines, and potential bottlenecks. You ask for input. Ask stakeholders to identify their top priorities and explain why they matter. Then you facilitate trade-offs. Help stakeholders understand the impact of prioritizing one deliverable over another. So you can use tools like shared project dashboards or prioritization workshops to keep everybody on the same page. Next step is reassess the timelines. When priorities are clearer, revisit timelines to ensure they're realistic. You want to add buffers. Really important. I have found this to be such a critical thing. Build in time for unforeseen issues like team absences or scope creep. And then you can chunk deliverables. Break large tasks into smaller, manageable parts that can be delivered incrementally. It gives everybody a great feeling of success. So, for example, instead of delivering a fully polished marketing campaign in one go, focus on releasing individual components like social media posts or email drafts first. The next step is to optimize resources. You want to ensure that your team members are being used effectively by reallocating tasks, assign tasks based on team members' strengths and availability. And you want to automate repetitive work. There's many tools out there to handle tasks like reporting or scheduling can make things go a lot faster. And then you cross-train the team members so that they can cover for each other for the inevitable problems that occur in life where one team member may be away for a short or long time. The next step is to communicate adjustments clearly, because once the priorities and timelines are redefined, you want to share the updated plan. You want to communicate all those changes to everybody, team members and stakeholders, which is usually upper management. Then you want to set expectations. You want to be very transparent about what can be delivered and when. And you want to address concerns, and you want to get feedback from everybody to make sure they understand all the problems ahead. So keep messaging positive by focusing on these adjustments will lead to better outcomes, because it can get really negative on you. The next step is to monitor and adjust. Here's the problem. Redefining priorities isn't a one-and-done task. You have to keep going back and evaluating as the project progresses. You want to hold regular check-ins with the team, revisit priorities and timelines within the team and the stakeholders. Track progress. Use Gantt charts or some other thing to stay on top of deliverables. And this is really critical. Be ready to pivot. If new challenges arise, and by the way, they will, reassess priorities and adjust accordingly immediately. Because redefining priorities isn't about doing less. It's actually about doing the right things at the right time. By focusing on critical deliverables, involving stakeholders, and optimizing workflows, you can make the impossible possible while keeping your team motivated and delivering quality results. Now, I want to focus for a moment on deadlines, because this is the biggie. You know, when deadlines drive everything, the idea of making timelines more flexible might sound counterintuitive. But here's the reality. Rigid timelines can lead to burnout, missed deadlines, and poor quality work. Flexible timelines, on the other hand, can keep the team motivated, the project on track, and the results exceptional. So let's talk about how we do that. Let's start by understanding the importance of flexibility. You want to account for uncertainty. Every project has unforeseen challenges, delays in approvals, technical difficulties, or changes in scope. Flexible timelines give you breathing room to handle these hiccups. You can boost quality. When teams aren't racing against unrealistic deadlines, they can focus on producing higher quality work. And a team that isn't constantly under pressure to meet rigid deadlines is happier and more productive. It improves morale. It also encourages innovation, because flexibility allows the teams to experiment and find better solutions rather than just rushing pell-mell to complete the tasks. So how do we do that? How do we create the flexible timelines? Well, first you build in buffers. Really important. Let's take and add time to critical tasks to account for unexpected issues. And in my experience has been, there are always unexpected issues. Then you create contingency blocks in the schedule that can absorb delays. So here's an example. If you think a design review will take 2 weeks, plan for 3. Because you want to get feedback in there, you want to get iterations in there, changes that are guaranteed to happen. Next, break the projects into phases. You want to divide the project into smaller phases or milestones. The smaller, the better. Focus on completing one phase at a time. You make it easier to adjust subsequent timelines as needed. Then prioritize tasks. There are many tools out there available to help you to identify what's critical and to prioritize. And an obvious point, work on the high priority tasks first, leaving the lower ones for later. Real obvious. Then regularly review and adjust. Set up regular check-ins to assess progress and recalibrate timelines. Be open to shifting deadlines for non-critical tasks if they're impacting critical ones. So, for example, if a team member is stuck on a task, maybe reassign or reprioritize to avoid bottlenecks. You can use agile planning techniques to tackle tasks in smaller chunks. For example, instead of planning an entire marketing campaign at once, plan a week-by-week sprint for constant creation, testing, and optimization. And this is really important. You want to manage stakeholder expectations because you want to communicate openly with stakeholders, which are usually upper management, why flexibility is necessary. And share the benefits of adaptable timelines, such as better outcomes and the reduced risk of failure. And then you want to make sure you track the progress with realistic metrics. You need to monitor progress and identify areas where timelines need adjustment. Now, there's going to be pushback on these flexible timelines. I'll guarantee it. Upper management may say, we can't afford delays. The answer is a rigid timeline increases the risk of mistakes, which could be more costly. Flexibility helps us avoid rework and assures better results. Your team members are concerned because we're not used to this. You tell them this isn't about eliminating deadlines. It's about giving you the space to do your best work. You start small and build trust in the process. Upper management may say, how do we measure success? The answer is, we will still track milestones and deliverables. Flexibility allows us to adjust along the way to ensure that we hit these goals. So flexible timelines aren't about being lax. They're actually about being smart. By building in buffers, prioritizing tasks, and regularly adjusting plans, you can handle the unexpected, reduce stress, and deliver better results. And so when you look at your next project, are the timelines working for you or against you? With the right strategies, you can create a timeline that not only meets your goals, but empowers your team to thrive. Hey, that's a wrap for today's episode of Ignoring the Rules. We've explored the art and science of creating flexible timelines, a game-changing approach that can transform the way you and your team work. But remember, flexible timelines aren't about being lenient or pushing deadlines endlessly. They're about building in necessary buffers to handle the unexpected, prioritizing tasks to focus on what matters most, adapting to challenges without sacrificing quality and morale, and communicating openly with your team and stakeholders to ensure everyone stays aligned. Because by shifting from rigid one-size-fits-all planning to a more adaptable approach, you can create a healthier work environment, improve productivity, and deliver better outcomes for your projects. So the next time you're building a timeline, take a moment to ask, is this plan helping my team succeed, or is it setting them up for stress and failure? If you embrace flexibility, you find your projects run smoother, your team works happier, and the results will speak for themselves. Hey, thanks for tuning in to Ignoring the Rules. If you found today's episode helpful, share it with your colleagues, leave a review, and subscribe for more insights into redefining the way we work. I'm Wayne Robertson, and encouraging you to rethink the rules and find new ways to thrive. Pass it along, stir things up. Let's build a community of leaders who aren't afraid to break the rules and actually get something done. And if you have something to say, hit me up. Feedback isn't just welcome, it's fuel. So please go to WayneRobertson.com for the latest of new episodes and additional information about this world of getting projects done. And you can find different locations where you can conveniently listen to the podcast, subscribe to a mailing list, find free documents I have created, news and information about upcoming projects. I also welcome comments about the podcast episodes and subjects you would like to see in future episodes. I don't have all the answers. You know, some days I'm not sure if I have any. And so I'm always happy to see your comments and information. We are all in this together. And the more we share information, the better we all will be. So let us all know what you found that works in your projects.